So no matter what it is, we'll be the champions. Oklahoma, we've been it.
Excellence has been established by Coach Wilkinson, Coach Switzer, and Coach Stoops. It's my responsibility to defend that standard and to build upon that standard.
Welcome to the Oklahoma Drill Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Curtin-Biddle and Brian Clark.
Hello, Sooner Nation, OU Insider subscribers, Coach Brian Clinton enthusiasts, people who are living in Oklahoma and freezing this morning because of an ice storm that hit a lot of the state during the morning, early morning, late night, early morning. This is certainly the podcast for you. This is another episode of the Oklahoma Drill podcast fueled by OU Insider and the Rivals Network. I am Jesse Crittenden. I realize I don't know if I say my name a lot of the time when I do these intros, but it's because I'm not as important as my co-host, Sir Coach Brian Clinton. Brian, I didn't ask you before we started recording. Did you watch the Super Bowl on Sunday?
Yes, I did.
How'd you feel about the Super Bowl?
Refrain from posting too much on social media because I've got pretty close friends that were on both sides. As you know, you may know, I graduated from Sequoia and was an Eagle. And they kind of literally my high school ripped off the Philadelphia Eagles logo and turned it blue. I think they like swapped the head side. So there's a lot of Eagles fans from high school. And I clearly living in Oklahoma, there's several friends of mine that are Chiefs fans. So still a line of scrimmage game, man. Doesn't matter how complex things get on either side of the ball, still a line of scrimmage game. And Philly won both sides of the line of scrimmage in pretty lopsided fashion. So it was intense.
That was my takeaway too. Just that sometimes it really is simple as can our defensive line beat the heck out of your offensive line?
Yep.
We're probably going to win then. Sometimes football is that simple.
Yeah.
Or as complicated of a game as it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Chiefs offensive line has been that hasn't really been problematic for them. I mean, they've been pretty good. So for Philadelphia, and a lot of those guys are young, a lot of young Georgia defenders on that front. They're going to be good for a little while.
Yeah.
I know you hate to hear that, but
well, okay. So going into the game, I thought, well, look, I hate the Eagles,
naturally.
A lot. I really hate the Eagles. But then I was like, but in a twisted way, is it better if the Eagles win just to really embarrass the Cowboys more and to show hey, your arch rival just won another Super Bowl and has gone to 2 in 3 years? Does that light some sort of fire in Dallas? And then Dak Prescott speaks to the media yesterday and says, we're really close to the Eagles. And that's funny because I watched that game thinking, and I actually asked my brother after the game, I was like, did that game just show that we are nowhere near the Eagles? Oh. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but hey, Brian, we're close. We're close.
Heard that around here before.
Tired of hearing. God, we're close. We just need better defensive line, a better defense in general, a better offense. Hey, if we just get a better defense and a better offense, Brian, we're cooking.
Hey,
we're cooking.
Schottenheimer's going to get you there, baby.
Here's the other thing I will say. Do we have to do GOAT debates or player debates after every single game or every single Super Bowl? Do we have to do that?
No.
It's really annoying. No,
it is.
Because I don't even mean this from a defending Patrick Mahomes standpoint. I don't even mean it from that way. I just like, do we have to do the, well, what does this mean for his legacy? Do we have to?
Nothing. The guy's been to five Super Bowls in 7 years as a pro. Yeah.
Won three of them.
Yeah. He's not even 30. Yeah, right.
He's not even 30.
I hate discussions like that, because one of the most peculiar things in sports is anybody who is successful is immediately associated with hatred from other places. Because, yes. I mean, let's just be completely honest. If you are not a fan of that successful team, you're typically jealous of the success that that team is having, whether or not you want to admit it. Like, we've all done it as sports fans. So, right. I've really tried to shy away from those kinds of debates, because I feel like it really, you're kind of embellishing at that point. Like, or I guess the opposite of embellishing at that point. It's really annoying that you can't just enjoy, like Philly fans already talking about repeating next year. It's like, just enjoy it. Just
give it a second.
Just enjoy it. You just won a Super Bowl. Like,
I'm just telling you now, if the Thunder win a championship, I will never shut the hell up about it. Ever.
I don't expect you to.
I don't care about next year. I don't care about the year. I don't care about 30 year. I don't care. We won a championship. And I will
back
lead
in
every...
my day in 2025.
I will lead every podcast with, hey, do you remember that the Thunder won the championship? I'll do that 30 years from
Jesse,
now.
Jesse, it's 2036.
Don't care. Do you remember when we won it in 25? Do you remember?
Oh, man.
But also, it was funny, speaking of the Super Bowl, because I was like getting ready to watch the Super Bowl. But before that, I'm watching Oklahoma softball against Long Beach State in a game that goes 11 innings. And that was Sunday afternoon. So I'm literally sitting, I'm with my girlfriend and her family, like pregame stuff's going on. And I'm like, I've got to write something about softball before the Super Bowl starts. And I'm like, can we just, me and a few of the other reporters are texting back and forth, like, can someone score, please? just to get this game over with. I think I literally finished the article like 10 minutes before the Super Bowl started. But that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some OU softball today, because we're through opening weekend. Oklahoma goes out to California. They go 6-0 with a couple of blowouts and a couple of games that go extra innings, Brian. They're opening day. They go extra innings against San Diego State. They go 9 innings in that game. Isabella Emmerling and her welcome to Norman moment hits a grand slam in that game that kind of seals the deal in extra innings. Then Oklahoma again gets really tested against Long Beach State in a game that, hey, don't let the name Long Beach State fool you. They've got some pitchers over there, and Long Beach State looked pretty good this weekend. But Brian, I'll throw it to you. I mean, Oklahoma goes 6-0. Some moments that looked good, some moments that looked a little rough, right? Certainly get tested, but they go 6-0 in a weekend where a bunch of top teams were getting beat and upset. What was your general takeaway from the first six games of the season?
Well, I think the first thing was the inexperience. I mean, it shows up. You know it's going to. But what was still really impressive to me was, and as I say this, you almost have to smile about it, the ability to show up in the moment is still like a blueprint, is still a fingerprint, the identity of this team. Like, yes, it's against, you know, San Diego State. Yes, it's against Long Beach State. But we saw those moments, Oklahoma's best players rise up And it was just, it was cool because it wasn't the names that Oklahoma fans have gotten used to over the years. It was, you know, as you just said, we watched Emmerling do it. We watched Ella Parker just immediately. I mean, wins SEC Player of the Week, played incredible. Cassidy Pickering looks incredible again. Bella Dayton looks incredible. I mean, there's just a lot of promising young talent on this team. And Tia Malloy made me eat my words for not mentioning her and then throwing it in late. Yeah, this team is really exciting. And look, I had, and I will save him some face because he's a good friend of mine. So I won't, he'll know who I'm talking about whenever he hears this, but there's a group chat, and I believe Oklahoma was either tied or down against San Diego State. Or no, sorry. It was when it was 5-3 against Cal Fullerton.
Yeah.
The text that I got was, "This is the worst team in Patty Gasso history."
My God.
And that was, I think he was being tongue in cheek, but I ignored it because I just didn't want to deal with that. Yeah. And then of course Oklahoma ends up really opening things up there after that. But long story short, what I wanted to take away from it was there are just so many young, super talented players on this team. And like, as this team meshes, if they find that cohesiveness going into SEC play, I mean, this team's dangerous. This team is just as dangerous as anyone in the country, maybe outside of a Florida or a Texas at this point in time. And I think if you look ahead and if they continue to build before those harder series start coming up, I think this team's in a really good spot to kind of pick up where they left off and can continue having a lot of success.
So for one, I you should expose him. Name him.
He who shall not be named, Voldemort.
I actually truly had a lot of fun watching the team this weekend. I really did. Like from seeing what Patty, how the coaching staff was going to handle these lineups. We saw a lot of tinkering, man. Lot of tinkering, both in the infield and the outfield. I mean, I think 12 different players started. It wasn't just players starting. I mean, Sydney Sanders was the DP one game.
Yep.
You know, we see Ella Parker spend some time in the outfield. We saw a lot of tinkering in the infield. Alana Agbayani, you know, some shortstop, some second base. We saw a lot of Gabby Garcia getting some starts in the infield. I mean, she started 5 games as a freshman. You know, we saw some Sydney Barker in the infield. We saw some outfield movement. Abby Dayton wasn't always at center field. They moved her around a little bit. A lot of things to really talk about, but you mentioned one of them, Ella Parker, who comes out of the weekend and is already in midseason form. I don't know if there. I think this is just a her form. I don't think it's midseason form. This is just Ella Parker. Yeah, I mean, she did the same thing last year too. She started really high, but you look at, I mean, through 6 games, batting average 591, slugging percentage 955, on base percentage 679. Leads the team in all 3 categories.
Yeah,
she leads the team in runs, 10 hits, 13. She had a home run, 8 RBIs. She was walked 5 times, which is also interesting. We talked to Ella and Isabella Smith yesterday at media availability. And, you know, Ella talked a little bit about, I mean, she's kind of she's the focal point of this offense. She's what this offense revolves around. And I do, one thing I hadn't thought about is, do teams opt to sometimes walk her? And I do wonder if that's something we're going to see as the season goes along. But there's a lot of players we could talk about. But I think let's talk about Ella, and let's also talk about Sydney Sanders, who Sydney last year really slow to start the year, really the entire regular season. She struggled quite a bit. You get through the end of the weekend, she 692 slugging percentage. She was walked 7 times. That was the one thing last year, was even when she wasn't hitting very well, she got walked a lot. 7 walks. Her and Ella Parker combined for 12 walks. Isabella Emmerling also 6 walks. But man, I mean, if Ella's hitting like this, Brian, that's what they're going to need. They're going to need not only consistency, but they need her to be the bedrock of this offense. And through 6 games, she's done that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you can't make comparisons to some of the players that Oklahoma's had in the in recent history, but you know, it's all relative. I think Ella Parker can be the focal point of this offense while the other players kind of pick things up. Not that they've been lacking by any means, but I think you kind of look here at the top 5 batters through this first weekend, and I mean, if you've got Parker, Sanders, Dayton Pickering, and McEnroe Marinas playing well at the plate, I think you're going to be okay. And then you throw in, we kind of expect Ogbayani and Emmerling to be big pieces too. But I do think, in relative terms, Ella Parker can be to this team what Jocelyn Alla was to previous teams. And it's not a one-to-one comparison, so don't take that out of context if you're listening to this. Like, don't take that. I'm not saying one-to-one she's the next Jocelyn Alla. I think she's an incredible talent, and the sky's the limit for her. But you really saw her step into that moment. Alla, she always stepped into the moment, and she really just changed the course of a game and was able to do that with one stroke of the bat. And I think that's what I think Parker has that same ability, especially given where she's at in the lineup. I really like what we saw from her, and there's still just all this juice. There's still all this juice whenever this team is up to bat. So I like it. I think that they're, you know, there is a little, not concern, but I think you are going to have to see this team be a little more aggressive, I guess, on the base paths at times, because I don't know that the power is there just yet from the entire lineup. But again, it's really hard to tell what you've got truly through the first weekend of a lot of these girls' first college experience.
Well, it's funny you say that, because, you know, and Patty talked a lot about how this was going to be a speed team. This is going to be kind of a small ball team. We get through the weekends, and OU stole 8 bases, 10 attempts. They hit 12 home runs. 9 players hit a home run.
Yeah.
I did not think this team would hit double digits in opening weekend in home runs. But that's the thing. Like, it's hard to know how sustainable is that, for one. And two, I think even despite some of the power hitting we saw, we did see some inconsistencies offensively, especially, I mean, even in that Long Beach State game, you know, there's a lot of base runners getting stranded. Base runners in scoring position that Oklahoma can't bring home. And I think that's the thing. Like, look, it, you can't take too much away from opening weekend, but I do think I'm curious to see, is there more power hitting and is that than we expected? And is that going to be something that this team can rely on? Or if the power hitting, if the home runs scale down, is Oklahoma going to find other ways to score? Because yeah. I do think the home runs a little bit, not bailed them out, but it got them out of some tough situations.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, I mean, even in that Long Beach State game in particular, I mean, it's 0-0 going into extra innings.
Right.
And Oklahoma had chances to score and didn't. Let's talk about this freshman class a little bit because, you know, I think, which Nellie McEnroe Marinas isn't, you know, she isn't a true freshman. She's a redshirt freshman, started all six games at third base. I think it's pretty clear. You know, we talked about this before the season. She's the third baseman. She's the third baseman for this team. Had some, I mean, had some good moments. But this really true freshman class, a lot of Gabby Garcia, as we mentioned, a lot of Sydney Barker in the infield. You mentioned Tia Malloy, who didn't hit the ball particularly well, but two home runs. I mean, it's her, Isabella Emmerling, and Cassidy Pickering.
Yep.
Only players with multiple home runs over the weekend. And then we're going to talk about this in a little bit. We're going to talk more about the pitching staff in a little bit, but Audrey Lowry, only five innings, but showed some stuff on the mound too. I mean, she was huge, especially on opening night, coming in relief and playing really, really well. Oklahoma kind of threw her in a really tough spot against San Diego State, and she played well. But this freshman class overall, encouraged by what you saw. There's going to be a lot of them that Patty Gasso is going to play as the season goes along.
Yeah. Yeah. I was encouraged. Like I said, the talent was never the question. It was just about how long does it take for them to get up to speed? How long does it take for them to start playing as a cohesive unit? Cause I mean, as with any team sport, softball, when you're working together as one unit, when you're playing well and, you know exactly what the other person's thinking. Yeah, like it just those things only come with time and experience. And I think as these players kind of mesh, that's just going to get better and better. But to actually see it on the field, to see, you know, them making some of the plays that they can, you can see the sky is the limit. Like you actually seeing it. So I think that part of it is very promising, and I think that was encouraging. But I think there's also a little bit of a reality check too. Mm-hmm. Just that there are going to be moments as this season winds up and gets tougher, and it will get tougher when SEC play starts. There's some really, really good competition coming up on the schedule. I think, you know, you take everything with a grain of salt in this early season stuff. You have to. It's so much experience for these girls. I mean, like, think about it from the perspective of most of the girls that we saw make starts this week. This was their first, not only first road trip, it's their first time wearing the Sooners uniform, first time being on the road and on the bus. Like, they're all of these news, these new firsts coming in for these girls. It's a lot, but again, I just go back to, even though a lot of them are freshmen and making their first starts for Oklahoma, like the clutch gene still feels like it's there. Now it's going to sway, and there will be times when there's not an opportunity, but you could almost feel that DNA is something I think that Patty is probably who carries it just as much as anybody else. I know she's not the one up at the plate, but does that make sense? Am I making
it does.
Sense? Okay.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's actually funny you said the clutch gene thing too, because that's the, like, even though this is a totally new look roster, with so little carryover between last year and this year. Like, they still, in that Long Beach State game, in the San Diego State game, it's Isabella Emmerling that comes through with a grand slam in a game that, to be honest with you, I mean, that game could have gone either way.
It could have,
absolutely could have gone either way. And then that Long Beach State game, it's, you know, you're 0-0 going into, I mean, it's through 10 innings, it's 0-0. But then Emmerling gets a walk. Then Abby Dayton brings her home with an RBI double. And it's these big plays that have kind of been staples of, even when things look rough, this Oklahoma team still kind of has that. Let's talk about this pitching staff real quick, because that was going to be the thing I was watching more than anything, not only in terms of how the pitching staff looked, but also in terms of how does Jen Rocha handle this pitching staff? And there's a lot to talk about here. Sam Landry, Patty said, she was the leader of the clubhouse coming into the weekend. She leads the team in innings pitch. But Brian, hard not to start a conversation about the pitching staff without talking about Isabella Smith.
Yep.
Who was fantastic. she throws it's a perfect game in five innings. It's that whole, is it a perfect game? Technically, not taking away from her at all. Goes five innings in her first start, doesn't allow a hit or a walk. And then we also saw her in out of the bullpen. She's fantastic too. In both settings, she goes 12.2 innings, two hits in 12.2 innings, two hits, zero runs, one walk, 14 strikeouts, 0.53 batting average. And I got to tell you, Brian, it's early in the season. It's not about trying to take away too much, but I came into the year thinking Isabella Smith had some really good innings with Campbell.
Yep.
She's a veteran. She pitched a lot. I think she had over 560 innings in three seasons at Campbell, but I thought, is she going to be the third or the fourth in this rotation where she plays a little bit, but not a ton? I came away from the weekend thinking she might be Oklahoma's best pitcher.
Yep.
I don't know. There's a lot to talk about with this pitching staff, but whether it's Isabella Smith or this staff as a whole, what do you make of these first six games?
So, taking everything in context, I mean, coming into the weekend, I would have been very confident and was very confident that Abigail Dayton was the biggest impact transfer that Oklahoma had. Felt very confident in that. Coming out of the weekend, I think you kind of started the conversation for me. Right now, it's Isabella Smith, and it's like not even really that close. She is the biggest impact player for this team because she was just so much better in the circle than I think really anybody expected her to be. And that's not a slight to Campbell. That's not a slight to her. It's just strictly, there are just so many talented high tier players on this roster, and experience won the day. Somebody that's been there before, it wasn't too big for her. The moment was just she stepped in and played fantastic. Now there's going to be tougher lineups. There's going to be more experience. There's going to be more talent on the other side. Like, we're going to see that in the weeks to come. But as of right now, I don't think you could have asked her to do anything more than she did. She played fantastic through this first week. And when you have Isabella Smith, you have Kirsten Deal, you have I know Audrey Lowry kind of had some instances where her numbers don't necessarily look aren't as indicative of maybe as well as I thought she played, but I think that this is a good group, and it right now it looks like Isabella Smith might be the leader in the clubhouse, like you said, the best arm of the group. And I think that's huge. That's a big deal for Oklahoma, because experience is key. And when you have somebody that's kind of, it's just older than everybody else, and is, and you can look to her as a leader, that's big for these younger players.
She even struck out. I mean, they brought her in relief against Cal State Fullerton in the opener. Yes. She comes in, and that's a game that, again, Oklahoma, it's going back and forth.
Yep.
And she comes in, 10 at-bats, 5 strikeouts, no runs.
Slams the door. Yep.
And so I think that's huge if she's productive, not only as a starter, but someone you can bring in the bullpen. I did think, I will say that, I mean, you look at, I mean, Sam Landry, 15 innings. Isabella Smith, 12.2 innings. Kirsten Dale, 11.1. Then you go to Audrey Lowry, 5.2. Peyton Monticelli, 1.1. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder, I mean, I honestly was a little surprised that OU didn't change pitchers as often. They didn't change pitchers as often as I thought they would.
Yeah.
And there is kind of already a clear top three here in this group. And I wonder if that continues. And I wonder, I mean, Kirsten Dale gets the very first start of the season. Kirsten Dale was good. She was good. 0.62 ERA. I mean, you're not going to scoff at that. Right.
Right.
Sam Landry, who 2.33 ERA. I thought she had moments where she was really dominant and in control. I mean, she threw 23 strikeouts in 15 innings. So it's not, you know, but then I thought there were also moments where things got a little away from her a little bit. The pitching staff, to me, I went in not with low expectations, but I don't even really know what my expectations were, but I thought the pitching staff as a whole looked a little better this early than I thought they would.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing I'm going to be watching as the season goes on is, does Audrey Lowry work her way more into the lineup?
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing I'm curious about. And I'm also curious about Sam Landry ends the weekend with the most innings, but does that stay, or do we see more Isabella Smith as the season goes along?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious, and I wanted your input on this as well, but how much of the innings pitched that we saw, how they designated those innings, how much of that was, this is the first weekend, an entirely new team, let's get the girls out there that have had the experience, that have done this before, like let's ease in the less experience, you know, let's ease Lowry into this, let's not just throw her in there, because confidence is huge. I mean, confidence, especially as a pitcher, is huge in this game. So I was curious what you thought. How much of that? I would be surprised if it's not, if it doesn't become more of a four arm approach, with Lowry being kind of like that fourth, where they're in pretty close proximity of one another and how many innings they're getting as the season progresses. And I think just as she gets more and more experience.
Well, we kind of saw that last year too, even with Carly Keeney, who, I mean, it was a lot of Kelly Maxwell and Nicole May and Kirsten Dill, but Carly Keeney, Jen Rocha has shown that even if you're the fourth arm, especially in the regular season, you can still get some real time. Also, Carly Keeney was used in the postseason a little bit too. I think that's a part of it. I think the toughest thing to do probably in softball is, as a true freshman, come in and pitch. That's probably the toughest thing to do, especially early. But they didn't just throw her out in garbage time lineups. I mean, she came in against San Diego State in a game that went extra innings and pitched 3.1 innings, 5 strikeouts, in a game that was kind of getting away from Sam Landry a little bit. Mm-hmm. And she goes and pitches the rest of the way. I mean, I don't think she's not just going to be a bit player. I think she's going to have a real role. whether that's if she breaks into the top three or whether she's a fourth that is used but just isn't an inning eater like the three veterans ahead of her.
Yeah.
Overall, Brian, I think I would say I think it's pretty encouraging for Oklahoma to go 6-0. They are going to lose games. I'm just going to tell people that now. They're going to lose games. They probably should have lost at least one of those two games against San Diego State and Long Beach State. Odds are they were going to lose one of them. The fact that they didn't was impressive, but I've actually been surprised, not surprised, but I think softball fans have been pretty level-headed about, you know, I think realizing, hey, there's clearly talent here, but this is going to be a growing process.
Yeah.
And I'm just telling you, I mean, it could even come this weekend. They play Hofstra and Baylor. They got four games, two and two against both teams. I think Oklahoma will drop a game, this weekend.
Yeah.
I do. And I think they'll drop several. I think it's clear that they're not necessarily trying to win at all costs. I think they're willing to have some tough moments at the very least to try to figure out how everything works together. But
yeah,
I think, Brian, that's my takeaway overall, is that I think it's a pretty encouraging start, but I do think we saw some tough moments over the weekend, and I think there's going to be some games that don't look beautiful, where there's innings that look a little rough, and that might result in a loss here and there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'll put it this way. I think the best way that I can, it's encouraging. I think by time, and this is way on down the road, but when May rolls around and it's time for the SEC tournament, and this team is going to look a lot different. And it may be the same starters. I have no idea, but I think the amount of growth that you're going to see between now and then, I would project it to be massive. It just, you that's a lot of experience, but that's going to come with growing pains. Like you said, that's the only way that you're going to see this team grow. I know Patty Gasso would say this, because this is something you hear a lot of the great coaches across sports say, but I mean, failure is your best teacher. And I think that, she would be doing the younger players a disservice to play the same style of softball that they did with the previous senior class, because it's not, that really was 4 years, especially the last three, was hero ball. Like they were literally just better than everybody else. This is a situation where you're going to have to learn the nuances of the game. And I think Coach Gasso is going to let some of those situations play out for the growth of their player, for the growth of these players. And yeah, there's going to be tough games down the road. There's going to be losses. There'll be head scratching moments for sure. But I think what today, or what this weekend showed me, was there's still a lot to be excited about, and the season's going to be fun. It's going to be so much fun.
I will say, I think growing process doesn't, one of the funnier things I saw was, I think Hannah Core missed out on a home run in the outfield. I can't remember what game it was. So they all kind of run together, and also had basketball this weekend, but she missed out on a home run.
Yeah.
And I saw a few people who were legitimately saying, well, Jada Coleman would have grabbed that. And I was like, guy, I just wanted to say, I think most fans were pretty level headed this weekend, but I want to tell, if you guys don't use Jada Coleman as your measuring stick. She's maybe the greatest center fielder in softball history. We can't compare everybody to Jada Coleman. That's why she's Jada Coleman. If you're comparing everybody to Jada Coleman, you're going to be disappointed.
It's the same exact phenomenon that Oklahoma fans went through last year at quarterbacks, and they're going back through film watching Oklahoma football, and they're like, man, we just didn't realize how crazy it was to see Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield in back-to-back seasons. Like, that was amazing. They won Heisman trophies. It's a little bit different. You don't have guys like that walking around all the time. It's the same thing. I mean, you've had best players at their respective positions in school history and in a lot of ways, softball history for Oklahoma over the last several years. So yeah, it's going to be different.
Other thing I should have mentioned is this also yesterday I was at Patty Gasso's introductory press conference where she was announced as the new head coach for the USA Olympic national team for the games in 2028. And pretty cool, man. I mean, just from the fact that the games will probably be played in Oklahoma, the softball games will probably in the city at Devon Park. Patty also mentioned if that happens, that there could be, you know, Love's Field and maybe even Marita Hines Field could be used as training, you know, training facilities. To have the University of Oklahoma head coach be the head coach for the USA national team, a team that's probably going to include at least a handful of former OU players, and for those games to be played in the city, it's pretty cool, man. It's just one of those things that, you know, I think we see the growth of softball, but Oklahoma is just a huge, significant part of that. Yeah. And I think you could see yesterday how much it meant for Patty Gasso, how much it meant to her to be named the national coach. I think this is true. I mean, she said it's the highest honor a coach could receive.
Yeah.
And I know the games are still years away, but you're going to see, I mean, there's going to be stuff to keep up with between now and 2028. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's pretty cool to see Patty introduced.
Very, very cool. I am so excited, and this is kind of pulling the curtain back on personal life back a bit, but in 2028, my little girl will be 6 or 7 years old. We will be at those games if they're played in Oklahoma City. How cool that will be to me is like, it's amazing, man. It is just so awesome to see not only the sport being so big and growing so quickly, but to be an Oklahoman, to be somebody covering this team, to be familiar and to know the kind of person that Patty Gasso is. It's, yeah, it's just so cool. I really, it's hard for me to put into words how incredible that's going to be, because girls around here in Oklahoma, I mean, if you play softball, those are the superstars. Like, those are the girls that you look up to, and they're right here in the backyard for girls like my daughter. So it's, yeah, it's really, really cool.
Couldn't have said it better. Couldn't have said it better myself. Brian, I think that's going to do it for us here on this episode of the Oklahoma Drill. Really fun to be in softball season, man. It's just really fun. And I know there's football stuff. I'm sure we'll get to some DeMarco Murray stuff next week. I mean, spring practices start in a little less than a month. March 6th, I think. I know. But for a minute, it's nice to just be talking about softball. And yeah. I think we both had a lot of fun watching this team this past weekend. And it's just going to be fun to watch this team. Hope you guys out there have fun listening to us talk about this team. And I hope you guys are having fun watching this team. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in to another episode of the Oklahoma Drill. Make sure to like and subscribe here at the OU Insider YouTube channel. Become a VIP member over at OUinsider.com if you have not already. Tons of intel, including about DeMarco Murray, over there on the Lindsey Street Insider board at OUinsider.com. Become a VIP member today. Appreciate you guys, as always. Appreciate you, Brian. We will see you guys next week to break down more softball and probably some football stuff here on the Oklahoma Drill. Until then, we'll see you guys next time.